Do you mind who wins this weekend?
Well, I suppose what you could say to that is that I can't lose this weekend, no matter who gets there. But Pádraig Joyce is the manager, and you have an affinity always with your former players, to see them involved. I mean, I'd be very proud at the minute to see him in charge of the seniors and Derek Savage in charge of the 21s. But of course, I'm a Mayo person, as I always said in the thing. And Kevin McStay is a former player of mine as well. So I'm kind of well linked, if you like, to both managements, at least. And from Balahadrin Club here, David McBrien came of age in this fixture last year with his goal. So I can't lose.
The Maroon and White Pod brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
Welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. There's only one show in town this weekend, and it's Galway and Mayo in the Connacht final on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Being involved with both counties, do you mind who wins this weekend?
Well, I suppose what you could say to that is that I can't lose this weekend, no matter who gets there. But Pádraig Joyce is the manager, and you have an affinity always with your former players, to see them involved. I mean, I'd be very proud at the minute to see him in charge of the seniors and Derek Savage in charge of the 21s. But of course, I'm a Mayo person, as I always said in the thing. And Kevin McStay is a former player of mine as well. So I'm kind of well linked, if you like, to both managements, at least. And from Balahadrin Club here, David McBrien came of age in this fixture last year with his goal. I can't lose.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting dynamic when you consider there you have McStay and Joyce that you both worked with. Yeah, John, as you're talking there, it's obviously excitement for a lot of Galway Mayo supporters, but there has to be a certain amount of disappointment here. Even the Connacht GAA didn't step in here and give this Connacht final day a billing, give it a build up. We're hearing nothing from the camps. It's just so disappointing.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear that they didn't do some of them d that they didn't do some press event or whatever to give people an update. It's a lack of respect for the thing. You might end up in not saying a lot, but at least you give people the idea that because look at Pier Stadium would be a very lonely place Sunday without supporters, and you need to show them a bit of respect as well by giving some information of what's happening or whatever. And I that'd disappoint me, to be honest. And I kind of have seen it from both sides, where you want to keep a few secrets, or you want to kind of maybe come up with something novel on the day or whatever. You always want to do that, but I think you can do that by still giving out basic information that gives a final thing on it. I suppose the other thing in the background here is the rushing of this championship. I mean, there's no excitement around Mayo, or no flags, and I presume Galway was always cool about putting up their flags later in the week anyway. But it's hard to even realise there's a Connacht final on Sunday. And I think that I was glad to see Gearlaith Burns coming back with, some suggestion that this can be extended again, because I think otherwise you're going to lose a whole generation of supporters. Like, if this thing is over in the end of July every year, not starting until the following July or the following February again, I think we're going to lose a lot of what the GAA is all about.
And definitely when you mentioned there'll always be questions about the split season. Is it just working, is it not? And I don't think that's a real issue that comes into this really, because in one sense it's just disappointment from the both counties. But like from being on the line yourself when you experience provincial success with Galway and with Mayo, Connacht Championship really meant something back then.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have eight Connacht championships, and I value every one of them, to be honest. And you know, when you think of the battles in '98, even when we beat Roscommon in the replay after extra time. I mean, that was exciting stuff. Absolutely, you could feel the tension in the grounds and some of the other matches as well between Mayo and Galway, but that seems to be gone out of it in recent times. And like if you were predicting, looking in from outside, the provincial championships is I suppose we all look on jealously at Ulster, the way that they're kind of have a you know it's the province of death, but certainly it's producing some great attractive games, whereas like the Connacht Championship, unless Sunday does something special, we're going to have gone through another year with a very lackluster Connacht Championship, and that's not good for football or good for provincial football. I'd be if you like a supporter of the provincial series, but you'd have to say the provincial series at present is. It looks to be on his last legs unless they change the GA season.
With that at the minute, there's a lot of negativity you could say around Galway football, because a lot of fans feel they got out of jail against Sligo. The performance wasn't up to scratch, and I'm sure from Pádraig that he's probably went into a bit of this and tried to give it back to the players, similar maybe to what you did with your Galway team and the fancy dance and everything. But do you think this is something Pádraig will be having a word or two with the players of the way maybe that the Galway senior footballers are being talked about at the minute?
I mean it's kind of, I would see if I was Pádraig, I'd see this as maybe a bit of an advantage that they're being written off, that they're, you know, that they're going to be so short-staffed with injured players and so on. This is an opportunity they'll have 15 very good players on the pitch at the end of the day, and it's a huge opportunity to demonstrate that there's real pride in that maroon and white jersey. And you know, Pádraig knows that himself, and he was the man that led the line for many years for me in if you like bringing out what was best in Galway football. And it's more complicated and more difficult to do it as a manager, because you have to, you know, some players need encouragement, some players need a bit of hard truths, if you like. And that's so I think what goes on in players' heads in Galway this week is going to be important. And I know Anne Marie Kennedy is in there with the Galway as the psychologist, and she's excellent. I've seen her in operation. We had her in Salt Hill, and I'm sure that's what this week is going to be about, is convincing the players that they're good enough. And have ambition enough to show us that what we've seen from Galway so far this season has been, hasn't been good enough, and there is more in that squad, and this could be a turning point on Sunday if they get through, like, because we talked there about who might be out for the full year, but certainly, you know, if they go down on Sunday, it's a kind of another setback in the season, and how many more of them can you take?
For me going into this, there's a lot of people saying who might be as well off losing this. But for me, that doesn't come into the equation when you talk about Galway. Galway at the minute haven't won a game at home this year. One win in their last eight meetings against Mayo, and their performance in the league was really worrying against Mayo, where Mayo comfortably defeated them. This Galway team needs to bring a performance on Sunday, needs to get a result and get some positivity, because really, for the talent we've had available since 2022, this team hasn't got back to the level since.
No, and that's the worry for them, but that's also an opportunity for them, because they when you get to North Ireland and push Kerry like Galway did in 2022, if you coming away from Croke Park that weekend, you definitely say, well, we're contenders for the next couple of years now, next few years, and that hasn't emerged at all, and certainly didn't emerge last year. Up to now hasn't shown the green shoots that you'd think would need to be there. So maybe we're being a bit like, certainly they have discovered, like, Sean Fitzgerald at fullback is going to release Sean Kelly for a more forward role. That's a positive if it's used so there has been progress in some respects there. And then, as I said, the Cathal Sweeneys, Daniel O'Flaherty, has anytime he has come on the field for Galway, has shown an awful lot of positivity. Dylan, there's still quality players there, but it's just that we need to see from them what they can, that they can be at the top table again, and it'll be a very tame outing if Galway lose on Sunday from their perspective, and obviously it'd be a big feather in Mayo's cap to beat Galway again at this stage of the championship.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, it'd be a tame if Galway lost, but I think for a lot of supporters, it would really be a bit of a kick in the teeth if Mayo were to come to Pearce Stadium 2 years in a row and come away here with a result.
It would, yes, absolutely, it would. The pride needs to come out in Galway, like that league game in February, or whenever it was, the end of January, beginning of February. You came away from that, if you were a Galway supporter, and you were wondering what was going on, to be honest. Because I know that the Galway team went back into training, pre-season training, very early, at the end of 2023, and nothing to show for it that day except a lack of cohesiveness, and a lack of any effort to show the talent of the squad they have. They've discovered a couple of young players in the forwards as well, sort of Corrine and so on. So, but there was no cohesion. Now, they did get their act together a little bit the week after against Roscommon, when they got a draw out of it, and then got the couple of wins that they needed to be safe, but ultimately were saved by Derry beating Roscommon, and again, that's not a good position for Galway to be in. So it would be a huge setback for Galway if they're to limp out of this game on Sunday.
If we're to look at the Galway team this weekend, it's obviously hard to predict, as you mentioned, because we don't know who's fit. But the talk from the camp coming out at the minute is that Killian McDaid, Matthew Tierney, and Tom O'Callaghan won't be fit for this. From what we're hearing otherwise, everyone else should be fit. Galway have been consistent from 1 to 7 with Conor Gleeson, Johnny McGrath, Sean Fitzgerald, Jack Lynn, Dylan McHugh, John Daly, Liam Silk. And you probably expect them to be consistent too with the midfield pairing of John Maher there and Paul Conroy. So from 1 to 9, is that how you'd see it going on Sunday?
Probably, on a personal level, I'd love to see Daniel O'Flaherty being a factor there as well. But you can't argue with any of the ones you've named there. That looks like being okay. But then I think the problems for Galway could start after that if they're going to be absent. All of these players are going to be absent. So that's Yeah, so they have a basic good structure there in defensive and midfield structure. It's what happens above that line that's going to bring home the silverware or otherwise on Sunday.
With that, do you expect Galway to maybe deploy Sean Kelly this weekend in the half forward line? Because if you go back to that league game and when Mayo have come out on top in Galway, they have destroyed Galway from the half back line.
They have, yeah. So Kelly would be a, he's a play anywhere type player, and basically adapted to be one of the best full backs around when he was needed there. So I think it'd be a big bonus to Galway, maybe at centre forward or whatever. Matthew Tierney out if that's the case. So you'd have, I suppose, Johnny Heaney, Sean Kelly, and whoever. Then is Shane Walsh going to be factored in on the wing or something like that? Maybe. It's hard to
Which,
kind of double think of what they're planning.
yeah, it could even be Sweeney Heaney. I know that was consistent throughout the league. If God Sweeney is deemed
Yes,
fit enough.
and I'd agree with now that you said mentioned that. I'd agree with. Cahill is better in a half forward position rather than being confined in the inner part of the pitch. Yeah, that's true. So they have a lot of good options there. And despite all that's missing, they are very quality players that you're talking about. Rob Finnerty has shown a welcome return to form, if you like, from the scoring point of view as well. So maybe we're being too down and out about Galway form, but I suppose it's just that we haven't seen it so much so far anyway. So let's hope that they can get their act together. I think the Connacht final needs it, Galway needs it, and if Mayo were to be pushed to the limit, they need it as well. So everyone, there's only we can't have a team effort from either side on Sunday next.
Yeah, just with that, we're talking about the options there. Keane D'Arcy is someone who could easily come into this. If Galway are to deploy someone out, it's the Turpin fielder. Expect Robert Finnerty to start because he was probably the biggest positive out of the Sligo performance. Damien Comer for his cameo and setting up that goal, he's going to come in. But Shane Walsh at 15, it could be a potential option there. But Shane Walsh at the minute is struggling for injury. He was taken off in the Sligo game. If you're a manager there on the line, what do you do? Because there's only that 2 week break between this Sligo game and the Mayo game.
Well, like if Shane Walsh has turned his form around in the meantime, you know that what he can do, but he, you'd need to be convinced. If I was sitting down with Shane Walsh this week before this, as I see it, before to pick a team, I'd need to know what state his mind is in, because certainly what we've seen so far wouldn't deserve an opening jersey. And that's not paying any disrespect to Shane Walsh, because everyone knows what he can do. So when you start going through the options there, Galway have a lot of brilliant options, provided the mindset is right. To bring home the bacon, if you like. So, there is a lot of options. Whereas, Mayo haven't maybe as much. If that forward line that we've talked about was in full throttle for Galway, it would spell a fair bigger threat than, we'll say, a Mayo-led Ryan O'Donoghue, because he has got them to where they are. In the last couple of years, on his own in most cases. Now, Tommy Conroy shown that he's come back a little bit to form as well. So, if all of them things came through, then we'd have a great game on Sunday. But Again, as I say, it depends on the headset of both teams.
Is this a game now where Galway, they know they got out of jail against Sligo? You can't really do much in 2 weeks, I suppose, with the turnaround here and how quick this game is fast approaching. Do you go back to basics here, or what are you saying to the players after that game?
Well, what you need from the players is back to basics. You can call it what you like, but it's about a change of attitude, effectively,
But do you
because
think that's been Galway's biggest problem this year?
up to now, yes, but it's not too late to resurrect the old Galway winning culture that has been there over the years at times.
What
A
sort of
lot of the time.
attitude do you think they've had this year?
Well, I mean, the league. Like, if you're a manager of Galway this year, I'm not. I don't want to speak for Pádraig Joyce, but you'd be frustrated. But you'd have to kind of sit down with the players and talk it through and reset their headset as to kind of for them to realize how good they can be when they get it right. And that's because they haven't got it right since July, whatever the final 2022, that hasn't happened. They haven't played as a with the unity of purpose that's necessary. And that's the biggest thing, the biggest challenge. So the biggest challenge is a mental challenge for next Sunday. And if Galway get that right, then they're in with a real chance here.
Is there an element, like we've talked here, that they need to win, but is there an element here where they have to deliver, given how long this management and playing group have been together in their 5th year now?
Yeah, that brings its own pressures. That brings its own pressures. You can only say the same number of things or the same things in a different way over 5 seasons. It can become a bit stale. I know that myself over the years that anything over 4 years is a long stay. And so it can become that bit stale. So let's see. I mean, who's to know what's in the minds of these players? I think, like Mayo, it's not an easy mantle to carry in favoritism to Pierce Stadium once more. So they'll have their own pressures as well. So it'll be a bit of mind games and seeing who can take most advantage of to tear up the script or otherwise in the first 20 minutes next Sunday.
It's the thing, isn't it? We've talked about Galway's record against Mayo, why they need a Connacht title, and at the same time they're going for three Connacht titles in a
That's
row.
the irony of this thing. They haven't done 3 years in a row for a good number of years. Like we didn't do it 3 in a row from 98 to 2004. So that's the irony of this thing. Like, and it shows the talent that's there, but it's just that it's in a kind of a vulnerable place at the minute. And maybe that'll be the spark that'll show us all that they were kidding us all along.
And the thing as well, Kevin McStay not having won a Connacht title for Mayo yet.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, and that's a bit this big sprig. That management is one of the biggest powered managements that came into football in the last couple of years. Is under pressure as well, absolutely, and deliver like this Mayo team has been compared with the great team of 10 years ago. And I think everyone in Mayo accept that they're not really a patch on them yet. Whether they'll develop into something that will become a patch on the team that got so close and all those All-Irelands against Dublin, that remains to be seen. But it's not I think there's no over expectancy in Mayo about this team yet, because they kind of have a lot of memories, good memories of the team that kind of brought them so much glory without the ultimate glory in the last 10 years.
For Mayo, if you look at their starting 15 this weekend, it's still unclear whether this game will come too soon for Dermot O'Connor or not. Owen McLaughlin too, he didn't play in the Connacht semi-final. But if you're to look at their starting 15, you're probably looking at a team somewhat like Colm Reap and Golds, Jack Coyne, Rory Brickenden, Sam Callanan, Paddy Durkin, David McBrien, possibly Enda Hesion ahead of Donough McCue, given he came on at half time. Stephen Cohen and Matty Ryan, Jordan Flynn, Ryan O'Donoghue, Jack Kearney, Fergal Boland, Aidan O'Shea, Tommy Conroy. Is that how you see the makeup of the Mayo
That
team looking?
that's roughly that you yes, I think that'd be kind of the that'd be what looking in from outside that you'd be plumping for something along those lines. So you know that's where it's at. But you know you need you'll need like Paddy Durkin is absolutely crucial to that team. So he needs to be fully recovered from any injury that he had in the semi-final, and you know it's a big test for Matthew Ryan and Stephen Cohen if Stephen Cohen is in the middle of the field as well. So let's see. It's I think you could talk it to death, but it's there's still a lot of. There's more questions than answers at this stage of the week.
We mentioned Sean Kelly in the half forward line, and you mentioned Paddy Durkin, absolutely crucial. Do you think that's a matchup that could potentially happen?
Sorry, Miss Hare.
Paddy Durkin on Sean Kelly. Do you think it's possibly a matchup we could see this weekend?
Yeah, that'd be an exciting matchup because both of them are very much, you know, they're comfortable when they get possession to take on the opposing side, so that would be certainly a one to look out for there, and as well as that would be like the that certainly wouldn't be advantage either Durkin or Kelly. Like it would have to emerge on the day and might depend on who was winning the battle's close by, as it were, you know.
On the matchups, it's probably going to be similar enough to last year, nearly. You'd expect Goyle go with Johnny McGrath and Ryan O'Donoghue, given he's the main man marker there. Sean Fitzgerald will hope to have the physicality for Aidan O'Shea, and then Jack Grimm more than likely on Tommy Conroy.
Yeah, that looks like to be the thing. Johnny McGrath has been again a real find for Galway this year. You know, he's a pocket rocket, and he'll be certainly if it's Ryan O'Donoghue who's picking up, he'll be in his pocket. He won't give him much he won't give him much room to maneuver. So yeah, that's it. Tommy Conroy can be a kind of a new if he got back to his you know what his best form was before his injury a couple of years ago, he could be a big threat to Galway as well, you know. So I think the ideal matchup there is Sean Fitzgerald and Aidan O'Shea, like and Aidan had one of his better games against Roscommon, and he'll be looking to repeat that, but as we all know, sometimes it never turns out the way that you expect. But, you know, a break along the way or a controversial decision or a sending off next Sunday could be a factor as well. So we'll have to wait and see.
Galway in the past have deployed a plus two, basically, where the two wing forwards, Heaney and Sweeney, who can play wing back at times, so they could possibly, even at stages, drop into the wing back to let Liam Silk and Dylan McHugh sit on the edge of the D as this plus two, because it's something Mayo I've struggled in the past to break down. There still is this question mark: can this current Mayo group break down the blanket, or does the issues come back to bite them? Is it something you see going with, and then just basically everyone back, keep Finnerty, Comer, and Walsh, and try and turn this ball over and go?
Yeah, I mean, that was successful, I think, in the win that Galway had against Mayo and Castlebar a few years ago. It was really successful that day. So, if you have something in your up your sleeve that worked to perfection before, the big attraction is to try it again and see how it works, as long as you can implement it successfully. So. Yeah, that'd be certainly a what would be a winning formula for Galway in the past if they could set it up again. I'm sure they'd be happy for it to work out the same way as it did that day.
Just as we're talking about this rivalry, and you've obviously had a lot of standout moments when it comes to this, but if there's one moment that stands out between Galway and Mayo games, what is it for you?
Between Galway and Mayo.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose the 98 victory in Castlebar, on the 24th of May. Here we are on the 5th of May, playing the Connacht final. That was the everything that all, anything that Galway did a year before that was based on that day. To be honest, so we were really hyped, coming down to Castlebar. And it was always going to be, Mayo had been in the previous two All-Irelands, so they could have come good that day. Kieran McDonald got two goals, so it was on a knife edge for a long period. But I think we had built the mindset into Galway that they were capable of having a win and leaving Castlebar. I felt that we had a great chance of going the whole distance. I wasn't saying it too loudly, but I felt that day was a big turning in point in Galway football, and the fact that we went on to complete the deal later in the year was really special. But the roots of that, and the huge Galway support that was in Castlebar that day, McHale Park, and the fields of Athenry being sung as we left the pitch. Those memories will last a long, long time.
Would you still have conversations with Pádraig throughout the intercounty season?
Not as much because I, to be honest, when you move off the stage, I don't want to be, I don't want to be kind of interfering, as it were. I had a huge admiration for Pádraig. As a footballer and so on, but I wouldn't know. When I leave a stage, I leave it, and I let them at it. I had a fair innings in both camps, to be honest. So I look back in good times and for Mayo as well, very much so. I'd probably have a bit more connection with John Dively, who's part of the Galway setup, maybe more so than Pádraig. But I'd be very conscious of not interfering or not kind of saying this should be done or that should be done, because I had me say and I had me time to do it.
Have you been back in with the Galway seniors under Pádraig for back in to talk to them during his term?
No, I haven't. I mean, I haven't really. Again, that's part of when you move off the stage. Obviously, if you were asked to go back in or whatever, you'd be glad to do whatever you could. But it would have to be his call rather than mine. I'd have too much respect for the management that's there at the minute to start giving my penny halfpenny's worth at this stage.
And who do you see winning on Sunday?
Well, I think after this long discussion, I think if you I'm not sitting on the fence, but I just don't know. It's who brings their game, their A game to the match on Sunday, and I think that's capable to be either of them. And I'm not trying to avoid an answer. Like if Damien Comer, like he's a real threat, and he rescued Galway in the last game. So if he brings, if he gets a full 70 minutes, and think it gives them a great chance. But I really, really don't know. And after the league game in Galway this year, it's hard to know. It's even more confused. So I think we'll leave it to the day and enjoy the sit back and enjoy the atmosphere that I hope will be there by Sunday, and see what comes. And as I said, no matter what happens, we'll have a big interest in both of them going forward.
There's a lot of questions coming in today, particularly after the All Ireland series draw was made. And if you're to look at Group One, if Galway or Mayo win Connacht, they'll face Donegal or Armagh, Derry and Westmeath. And then for the loser, more than likely, I think we can safe to say, if Dublin are to beat Louth, which is suspected, they'll face Dublin, obviously, and then if Louth were to turn them over, Roscommon and Cavan. There obviously is a favourable side of the draw there for the loser compared to the winner, but
That is true, and but I'd be disappointed if I thought that he either Mayo or Galway wouldn't want to move every sinew in their bodies to get success on Sunday. But certainly, if you look at it like that from a newspaper, by from looking at it on paper, the loser, the Connacht runner-up has a better chance of getting out of the group than if you're a Connacht winner. So there's another conundrum, the new system. It's a pity in a way that it's drawn before these finals are played. That it brings another kind of factor into the thing that the provincial championships don't need, at least,
I don't think it's something, though, either team, given that there's silverware on the line. I don't think it's anything they'd really be paying heed to because,
No, no,
as we've
no.
mentioned, both of these sides need a trophy.
Yeah, they both need a trophy, and you'd be disappointed if they kind of were trying to manipulate a situation where they got an easier draw at this stage. Then that kind of puts the credibility of the championship in doubt, whatever, as well as everything else. So we
Particularly
shall.
there with three coming out too. It's they'd all still be expecting, no disrespect to Westmeath or Cavan, but they'd all be Galway Mayo expecting to get a result,
Yeah.
given that they're going to be a seed one or two against the bottom seed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. So they'll all expect to survive that group, those groups as well. So in some ways, the championship is over before it starts, nearly. And in another view, it hasn't started at all yet. So it all adds to the confusion.
Just before we do finish, obviously it's probably going to go really under the radar this weekend, and I think it's a bit of a pity with all the action that people are probably forgetting that there's a Connacht under 20 football final taking place on Saturday in McHale Park between Galway and Roscommon.
Yeah, that's a fixture. Unfortunately, I don't think I can be at it, but I'd love to be at it, because Galway have really seemed to have progressed well through that championship. And from the under 20 point of view, I think the under 21 grade, or the under 20, I think it still should be under 21, but it has been neglected over the years because it has produced so many quality players. Like when I think of it, in 98 we had five starters from the under 21 team for that particular year, and it has been kicked around the place from played at all times of the year, and like has always been just a simple knockout. But it should be one of the things that I'd commend the kind of council or whoever decided it for the round robin basis, because that develops players, and it brings them on, and that's the assembly line that you need for the senior teams of the coming years. So I think that Galway seem to be maybe a little bit in the driving seat in that. I would hope that I was great. I was delighted to see Derek Savage and Jack Fallon and so on getting involved. So I'd have a lot of personal admiration for them, obviously as players, but also they're good guys. So we'll be keeping a tight eye on that on next Saturday as well.
Matthew Thompson's a very exciting talent.
Absolutely. You had him at Salt Hill, and he's
Probably
delightful.
forget how young he was when you're actually working there with him.
Oh yeah, sure. He was doing his. He was only his fourth year, I think, in college, or first year of the year we got to the county final. Like, but he obviously was involved in soccer up to that, I think, but really concentrated and is now very ambitious. I know that, and I think he'll be a star of Galway in the future at senior level. I have no doubt about that because he has his feet on the ground and his attitude in perfect order for what the game needs. So I'm looking for, it's great to look forward to see a young player like that coming through the ranks. As I said, I was lucky enough to have close connections with them, and seeing them close up, I'd be if I was putting a wager on it, I'd be betting them to be a big Galway player for the next number of years.
And how do you see Dundee 20s doing against Roscommon on Saturday?
I well, Roscommon had a very up and down championship.
Yeah, hard to read into because they drew 6 points apiece on a horrible night.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I'd fancy Galway. I think they have a fairly, quite a good forward line. Costello and Thompson and a few others there. They seem to be very well equipped. I'd fancy them. But again, I haven't looked at it in depth or seen them in depth, as it were. But I'd very much love to see them coming through with the weekend.
Good stuff. Well, that's going Roscommon Saturday night in under 20 final, and then the main event in Pier Stadium at 4 o'clock on Sunday between Galway and Mayo. That's all we do have time for on today's podcast. Thanks a million to John for coming on.
Thanks, Paul.